Lee Kessler, if you don't know the name, you've seen Lee in all sorts of things. L.A. Law, she's been on Barney Miller, she's been on Hill Street Blues, Falcon Crest, all sorts of TV shows that you would recognize her if you saw her. And she's also a novelist, and she's written books. And what is interesting about this, she writes espionage novels that are so accurate that now the counterintelligence community has been coming to her asking her how she got her information. So she says that she has more of a feel for what we're doing wrong out there as far as fighting terrorism is concerned. So we thought we'd invite her. Well, Lee, how are you?
I'm just great, Phil. Thank you. Glad to be on.
Well, it's my pleasure. So tell us about your novels first and how you got in from being an actress to writing novels.
Well, it wasn't intentional, but after 9/11, you know, I think all of us recognized that we were in a fight of our lives here. And I was looking for ways that I could help and contribute. And as we came up into the 2004 presidential elections, I was watching our country become more and more divided at a time that it should be united.
Right.
And that caused me to think that there might be a fifth column, which is a military term for a force inside a country that's going to break the solidarity of that country. And I began to look to see if that was possible. I remembered something the Israelis had warned the United States about back in the 90s about the actual mastermind of Al-Qaeda, the man by the name of Ayman al-Zawahiri, that he was so bright their analysts couldn't figure him out. And they didn't know what he was going to be doing next, and if we ever got him, we should take him down. So I said, well, I'm pretty bright. Let's see if my background as an actress, where I've played real people, coupled with imagination, maybe I could do a backstory analysis on this guy and figure out his driving motivation and therefore predict or evaluate what he might do. So I did that, identified his driving motivation as if I were going to play him, and then I started to lay out some scenarios. Well, if this is correct, I'll start to see this happen and that happen. Then those things started to happen. And I went, oh, dear, how am I going to communicate this to anybody who needs to hear it?
So in one of your books, I believe you came to the conclusion that Osama bin Laden may be in Iran, and we've heard news reports lately that says that he is actually hiding in a town in Iran, and that Turkey actually knows he's there.
Yes, I had written that in the first book, White King and the Doctor. The sequel, White King Rising, has him there as well. But this was back in 2004 when I was writing that the way I evaluated what Zawahiri would do with bin Laden was that he was likely to move him there. Now, the circumstances in my novel of how he's there is and what he's doing there is very interesting, but it is true. Right now, the corroboration is coming in that it appears he is there. So that was one of the examples.
So, and from what we've heard, he's got kidney problems, right? And so I don't know what kind of shape he's in.
Yes, he's not in great shape, but he's also under the control of certain types of medications that Zawahiri would be very practiced with to keep him under control,
now,
in my evaluation.
Now, there's some similarities in some of these scenarios that you have come up with and some of these actual events. Let's talk about some of those.
Yeah. Sure.
What are some of the things that you have come up with that either have come to fruition or you think are coming to fruition?
Well, I think the most present one that Americans are in turmoil about right now is the issue related to border and border control and so on. And when I did the opening of White King Rising, I had looked at the situation and said, you know, we're not closing that border for a reason. And when I looked through the point of view of the enemy and through just not so much through the cliches, if you will, I realized that there was very likely a conspiracy between Venezuela, Cuba, Panama, perhaps Mexico, certainly the FARC and Al-Qaeda, to establish new staging grounds south of the border and to, if they could, bring down Mexico so that it turns into a communist Marxist state on our border. And it appears very real now that those countries are in play and that Al-Qaeda is restaging south of the border. This is pretty chilling.
So you're saying that Al-Qaeda is getting in cahoots with the narco-terrorists that are south of the border?
Absolutely.
That have a really good chance of taking over Mexico?
Absolutely, yeah. And I think if the Mexican economy falls, they go. And if they go, then we have a whole other scenario down there. And so that part of what America is attempting to do is keep Mexico there under a regime that is friendly to us and more freedom-oriented than the other.
which would explain why George W. Bush and these other presidents, Obama included, are pandering to them as far as the illegal immigration issue is concerned. But that's a double-edged sword because of our porous borders. A lot of these terrorists are coming across the border disguised as Hispanics.
Yes, no question. In fact, right in White King the Doctor, I laid that out, that because of their appearance, they could easily cross that border disguised and that nobody would give them up. And there's a danger there. I think it's which danger is greater. And that's what any president's going to have to deal with, that there's no solution there that doesn't pose some threat to us. It's which ones do they feel they need to deal with the most.
So what do we do about all this? And are we fighting the terrorists the way we should be fighting them, or... As you've looked into this, are we making critical mistakes out there?
Well, I'm not so much a military analyst, I'm sure that there's lots that we could do militarily, but the main point of my works is that there is a Trojan horse inside the United States that the enemy has tapped into. It's an old line laid in by the Soviets of how to bring us down from within and compromise every one of our institutions. And to that degree, I think that we're off the mark because we're fighting. I mean, I know you're on the air. So many people are aware of compromised education and family and religion under attack and justice system. So we feel like we're fighting on all fronts. But if we're distracted totally with military, I think that's part of their plan. I think Zawahiri, when you look into his background, he's probably the most gifted of the propaganda enemies we have ever faced. And that his attack line is internal, using tools to cause us to bring ourselves down and turn against ourselves.
Such as? I mean, what are some things we're doing that are wrong?
Well, if we're not aware of the fact that he will fight a PR war, and even the UN now is starting to talk in terms of public relations warfare, that he will try to get us to take our strengths and turn them into weaknesses. And, you know, we're a nation of goodness and fair play. We're certainly a nation of laws and constitution. But if we go so far to the extreme with political correctness and our righteousness turned to self-righteousness, that gives them tools to work within the United States, within our court systems, to gain footholds. The Fort Hood shooting is an example. When my book came out, it was just coming out when the Fort Hood shooting happened. And if we're not aware of how they will manipulate through the pharmaceutical industry and drugs, a particular type of enemy that they can recruit and train here, we're going to miss the boat, and there's going to be some attacks internally that we will miss because we're going to be looking for them to come external.
Well, I got to ask you this because you sound fairly conservative. Am I picking up on that?
Yes.
Okay. How does somebody that's fairly conservative make it in Hollywood? Now, I know there are some, but I mean, you're the exception and not the rule.
Yes, and as far as I know, years ago I was blacklisted for a viewpoint on it, but I was raised by parents, you know, like you, Phil. I grew up in a small town, and I was raised by parents to do what was right and to stand up for what I thought was right. And so I've pretty much stood my ground, have created a resume that reflects my views, and if somebody didn't hire me because of that, well, that was their problem, not mine. And
so you think you were blacklisted at one point, didn't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, I was told I was. As a matter of fact, I did the first political commercial ever done in America. Today they're so commonplace that we, you know, don't even know. But about 20 years ago, I did the first one ever done. And it expressed a point of view that wasn't popular, and I had quite a career going as a spokesperson, which ended right then. I didn't know why. And then 8 years later, the director of that commercial said, "You didn't know what happened to you, did you?" And I said, "No, what are you talking about?" He said they didn't like that you did that commercial, and so when your name comes up, you're not hired for spokesperson.
Who would you do a commercial for that would that upset himself?
It was Gerald Ford.
Ah, okay. Can't be supporting a Republican and live in Hollywood. But, I mean, there are more that are coming out. I mean, we've always heard that some of the older line Hollywood actors like Jimmy Stewart were more conservative, and not. You know, but as it's gone on, it seems to be that like George Clooney and Brad Pitt and the rest of these folks are very liberal. But then you've got supposedly people like Bruce Willis, and I understand that Robert Downey Jr. Have you heard that he may be conservative?
No, I haven't. But I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, a lot of those folks, like myself, are also entrepreneurs, and they understand, love their country. They also may understand certain principles that we have to maintain here, or they wouldn't be able to prosper either. And these are, you know, good guys. The others have had the microphone for a long time, though, so it is good that it may be swinging back. Because, see, one thing actors bring to the table, Phil, is, and writers would too, but especially actors, they bring creative imagination. And when those guys look into an area and also start to engage and participate in society, if they have fans and a following, that can help the American citizens say, yeah, it is time for me to rise up too. These guys are maybe putting their careers on the line, or at least they're beginning to become vocal. I need to too, which is the strength of the Tea Party movement.
That's exactly right. Well, if you want to learn more about Lee and now her work as an author, you can go to whitekingrising.com. Is that correct?
Yes, and or Amazon, of course.
Okay, and you get these books, and we wish you the best of luck with them. Appreciate the insight. Lee Kessler, thank you very much.
Thank you. It's been great being with you.
Hey, same here.